Hello and welcome to the SJ Chronicles. It's 9:30 on Thursday the 17th of May 2018. Popping in to do a segment a little bit early this evening. Hope you're doing really well. It's been a couple of days. A couple more days that have flashed by. Probably the main thing that's going on at the moment, well, there's loads of things going on at the moment, to be honest. Constant overrunning. Missing due dates, that kind of thing, but it's all good. But yeah, there's obviously a lot of stuff going on with the site because the team mobilised on site this week and, you know, there's kind of fairly relentless stream of questions about all kinds of things. And the thing is, you don't always have the ability, you know, to necessarily spend the time trying to make the best decisions because, you know, we haven't got that much time. I mean, people are waiting for those decisions and we're working to a quick time frame. And on the flip side of that, you obviously don't want to make the wrong decisions because that inevitably will prove to be expensive. So there's definitely this sort of balance between, you know, trying to make decisions quickly, but try and make them as sensibly as possible. And, you know, the company that we're using to project manage, they've got a fair amount of experience in the veterinary sector, and so they can often recommend things. And you know, if in doubt, we'll go with their recommendation because it's better than, you know, if it's something I don't know anything about, then I'm quite happy to go with their recommendation. So, for example, yesterday I got this email saying we need to know which washer dryer you want because, you know, we need to tell the contractor about the plinth or something. And I'm like, right. So. And obviously, you know, there's like space considerations and how big can you fit, what size equipment can you fit into the room and that kind of thing. But, you know, let's face it, what the hell do I know about commercial washers and dryers? But, you know, they had a recommendation of a brand and, you know, it was just kind of like thought, well, it's a well-known brand. They recommended it. Let's just do it, right? So, there's lots of examples of things like that. But, and then next week, a week today, we're having this big meeting again where there's going to be representatives from all the different people involved in the project, but including our design agency, because obviously they need to work very closely with each other, the contractors, project management people, the design agency. And, you know, so someone sent an email today with this long list of things that we need to cover in the next meeting, and there's something like, you know, 25, 30 points. And it varies from, you know, stuff that the design agency will be able to answer, stuff that I will have to answer. Have to sounds terrible, want to answer. It's my gig, if you like. But, yeah, so there's just a load of stuff going on. And, you know, you really have to be alert and aware and not just be about your productivity, but also trying to be as sensible as you can about what you do and when you do it. I've talked before about not letting others determine your timeline, but you know, with things like the sites, I mean, that's the one thing that I do have to let others just, you know, direct my timeline, because if they need to know stuff, they need to know it. And the longer I take reply, sometimes it means they can't actually do something. So, you know, like, you have to be as available as you can. But then there are also other things that, you know, are things that we know that we need to get done, but they don't need to get started now. And, you know, they can wait for a time when there's more people involved and we have much more capacity than we do at the moment. Somebody said to me yesterday that they're a little concerned that I'm going to get sick, which is very lovely of them to be worried about that, you know, just because of the amount of stuff that's going on. And I think, well, let's face it, I mean, there are plenty of people that work very hard and, you know, have a lot of stuff going on, so I don't think I'm exceptional by any description. And also, you know, I suppose it's been a four-year journey so far and there's been no break in that four-year period, really. So I guess people who know that would have reason to be concerned. But, you know, I think the bit that I've said before that I have going for me that some people don't have is the mental relaxation, right? So having that kind of relaxed, controlled state of being, that relaxed, you know, relaxed mind, etc. I think that's hugely helps. I think if you've got the negative energy drain of fear and stress and uncertainty and all of that, layered on top of a lot of stuff to do, layered on top of a long journey. I think, that's going to be much worse for you. And I've said this before, I think that it makes a massive amount of difference in terms of your ability to keep going. If you can be in a relaxed state and not be overwhelmed and not be stressed and, all of those things. So I think that I definitely have that going for me, and that I think is a wonderful, wonderfully good thing, and I'll definitely wish it on, other people. Because, as I say, I think sometimes people take on things like this and other projects, where they have the aspiration and the ambition, or it's, they consider it to be a goal, a purpose, but maybe their personality type is not, and they haven't had that sort of personal development. Where it's kind of maybe they're not even well suited to doing that sort of thing, and then that can create situations that can get really quite terrible. So, we know about the incidence of kind of mental health issues and so forth in entrepreneurs, just as with many other people. It's not surprising really when you look at what it is they're trying to do. So I think the other thing is that I try my best to make sure that I get a reasonable amount of sleep, because I'm, I understood from very early on that this marathon was not going to happen if I was chronically exhausted. Now, I don't think anyone could work for 4 years relentlessly, more or less, without being tired. But that's a bit different from, sitting down at the sofa and falling asleep and that sort of thing. Which a lot of people do who work normal jobs, right? They have long days, they're exhausted. So there's all kind of interesting little dynamics going on here. But for me, I just kind of thought, it's important to try and make sure that we get enough sleep. So I could quite happily sleep for a week or a month if I allowed myself the opportunity to, but that not being available, it's just about trying to have a steady amount of enough sleep whenever possible. And that makes such a difference in terms of the ability to just continue to keep going, So, I kind of, it's sort of about what do you do during the day and trying to maximize your productivity and do as much as you can during your waking hours rather than, shortchanging sleep all the time. And that's something else I think more and more people are coming around to understand, And to be honest, I'm also conscious that when we get close to the hospital opening and when the hospital does open, my sleep is probably going to get a hell of a lot worse. Not least because I'm going to be covering some nights, night shifts, on call and in theory working days too. So, I think, I have to be very conscious of that as well, that my capacity to recharge pre the hospital opening is likely to be very limited. And once the hospital opens, it's not exactly going to be, driving Miss Daisy, is that the film? It's not going to be slow paced and restful. So yeah, I think it's just about trying to be self-aware. It's trying to think through your strategy and make sure that you give yourself the best chance of going on. And as I come back to, I think for me, a huge part of that has been the kind of personal development process of, the thing that I talk often about, being detached and being an observer and not internalizing things and keeping perspective and all those things. And I think that really helps to give you the ability to keep going. So that's, I think, probably it for today's episode. But I also just wanted to say completely bizarrely, nothing to do with anything I've just said, but I've been hearing some more rumblings of gossip about things going on in the veterinary sector in terms of corporate activity again. And gosh, it's like a juggernaut you just cannot stop in capitalism. No sector is immune to it. And yeah, just people cannot say no to money, basically, is the thing. I hear, they were offered an amount of money that cannot be refused, for example, or unrefusable amount of money. Like it's a given that everyone is just going to say yes to money. Now, like I said before, I don't have any criticisms of people that are selling their practices, selling their companies, which sometimes have many practices. I saw recently that another group of independent practices that have been staunchly that way for ages have just sold as well, And there's some rumors about a big takeover that may or may not be true, and I guess we'll see. Yeah, it seems like everyone has a price. And people often ask me if I have a price, and I can say with, this complete certainty that I don't have a price. I will sell the Ralph, or rather, I will suggest to my co-founder that we should sell the Ralph, because it's not just my decision by any description. If I feel that we failed on what we were trying to do, or if I feel that there are very good reasons that are about trying to help us continue our mission in terms of our culture and our values and all those things, but there's no, oh, I get all this money and later on I can go and, retire on a beach or something. because we're not interested in that anyway. We've got a bigger purpose in life. So, the interesting thing is that money that I could get in the future from selling the Ralph, you could argue, well, that's money that we could use towards animal rights stuff, our charities, sanctuaries, and all those kinds of activities. And that for sure is true. But I've made a commitment and a promise to all the people that are coming to the Ralph that, they come because of the vision. And so to go and sell out on them, that can only happen under circumstances where that mission has failed, I also think I have a fair amount of clarity about what's black and white and right and wrong about certain things. And so, yeah, you can stuff this episode down my throat if in 10 years from now, 5 years from now, I exhibit behavior that is inconsistent with what I've just said. But I will be surprised, because that would involve me changing as an individual. And I can't see why that would happen, But as I say, I mean, it's not always simple. And I get that, but I just, feel it's sad in a way. But as somebody said to me in an email the other day, she said, "Thank you for giving me hope that there can be another way for our profession to evolve," or something like that. I can't quite remember the wording, but we just need to get louder about the fact that it doesn't have to be that way, and we can focus on, a different set of values and a different set of things. And yeah, you can't stop the juggernaut of venture capitalism, but you can build your own little oasis of profitable, successful culture and value-driven community. Anyway, I'm going to definitely stop now. I've got to gone right over. I will catch you for sure again sometime tomorrow. Tomorrow I've got a day at home. Excuse me, and I've got one job in particular that's been outstanding for a while, and then we're running pretty late on, so I'm going to try and get a decent amount of computer work done tomorrow to take care of that. And sorry about the throat clearing as well. It happens sometimes. All right, cool. Thanks as always for listening, and take chances, be compassionate, and live in a beautiful state. Cheers. Bye-bye.